Free from this morning, Psalms 145. Appreciate the testimonies and our lady's journey with Jesus at the end of this month, and thankful for a lot of prayer and a lot of people that get invested and get involved and make those things happen. So blessing and look forward to hearing good things from others that get to go. Psalms 145, verse number 20. Again, this is kind of the other part of the story. We talked about that passage where Jesus gave the illustration of if one's forgiven of 50 pence or 500 by a creditor, who would love him the most for forgiving him? And Simon the Pharisee said, well, I suppose the one who's forgiven of 500. Look at Psalms 145, verse 20. The Bible says, the Lord preserveth all them that what? But all the wicked will he destroy. Let's be seated. We'll bow to pray. God in heaven, pray that you would use these verses as we put them together on the subject of loving you. Lord, the scripture tells us that that we love you by keeping your commandments. And there's a lot of verses on the subject. But God, I just pray that the decision would be made because of what has already been received from you, that we would love you. Thank you ahead of time for what you'll do with your word. And I pray that you be with those decisions later on this evening of baptism. And God, just have your will and your way in our midst. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This verse tells us that the Lord preserveth all them that love him. And I don't think it's a burden, or I don't think it's a hard thing. I think it's sometimes a decision that we hesitate or find some other thing to love, but the Bible tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the love of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes and all those things are hurtful. And as I grew up, I just thought, well, you know, the command, and we'll look at some verses, the command to love the Lord with our heart. And I thought, well, how do I do that if I just don't love him? I mean, you got to have some emotion to love the Lord. I thought growing up that, what do you do if you don't have the emotion? I mean, God commands us to love him, and what if I'm just not feeling it that day, or feel like I'm in love with him, or how do you fake that emotion? And I remember my preacher that I grew up under was very, very adamant about just preaching the Bible, not trying to be a scholar, not trying to learn. He said, I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. The Hebrew one runs a laundromat and the Greek runs a restaurant. That's what he would say when he would preach about the languages and study and things of that nature. But I have realized that there are some different words that are translated love. And the one that is most often used, like Noah quoted, for God so loved the world, it's a decision love. It's an unconditional love. It's just decided and it's appropriated just because of God's decision. It's not an emotional thing. As Bob Burney told us, the most romantic thing you can ever tell your wife is to put your arm around her. Bob Burney's on the radio, 880 The Word. He said, put your arm around your wife on the couch and look at her in her eyes and say, honey, I love you because I have to. And he told us that's the most romantic thing you could ever tell your wife after you've been to a marriage conference that he taught, because you'll know that it's a decision love that husbands are called and commanded to have with their wives. It's not an emotional, although there is emotion and there is affection and all those things, but the word love in the New Testament that is translated from the Greek word agape, it's a decided decision love. I don't think God was looking to get anything from us when he chose to love us. I don't think God needs anything from us when he gave his only begotten son for my life on the cross. I don't think God is going to be less God if people don't choose him, or more God if people do choose him. I think he is sustaining without any interference or anything from anyone else in the universe. He's God and God alone. But he chose to love us. And when you respond to choose to love God, there's some amazing things that happen. I don't know why we wouldn't just love him for how much he gives after you do love him. And our love sometimes may be tested to see if it's tried and true, but yet it just should be a decision. I don't think I should love him for what I get. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. I do think there's a lot to prosper when you believe the gospel. Amen. Heaven, there's streets of gold up there. Amen. I mean, I don't think they're chipping it up and selling it up there, but I'd be scrapping every road if I got to heaven, gold streets. But there's a lot of blessings that come with Jesus that just if you logic and figure it out and come and reason it out, I don't know why we wouldn't love Jesus more. But this first verse, as we're looking here, God preserves them that love him. What a blessing. When I think of the word preservation, I think of the Bible, how God's preserved it, how he is the one who's keeping it together. God preserves the things he's promised to keep, he keeps. He doesn't lose any one of them. There's no keys that God has ever lost. Amen. He knows where everyone is. He's not lost any of his disciples. The one that was lost was never his, Judas Iscariot in John 17. And so this promise of if you love him, the Bible says God preserves them that love him. That's a reason that we ought to love Jesus. Y'all say amen to that? Go with me to Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. The lady loved more because she was forgiven of more. And there might be some different motivations for you loving the Lord. Bryce is going to sing a song here soon. I love to call on the name of Jesus, and it's a bass solo, and you guys will love it when he sings it. But I love to call on the Lord for because he heard my cry. I love to call on the Lord because he answers, and he gives me more than I've ever asked for. Call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Boy, there's a blessing to love the Lord. Matthew 22, verse number 37 says this, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Why should you love the Lord? He preserves them to love him. But second of all, it's a commandment to love him. Really, he's called us to come to love him. It's a command. If you choose and decide to love Jesus, you're now in line with the instruction that he's given for us to do. That's why it's not an emotional love. It's not just a conditional love. Well, if God's good to me, then I'll choose to love him. No, God's been good to you whether you realize it or not. And he's good to everyone whether they realize it or not. And we've been given a gift of life. We've been given a time to breathe and to experience what he's created with us in mind, I truly believe. The crowning part of creation in Genesis, God made man and then he rested on the seventh day. But the scripture tells us it's a command. This is the first and great commandment. If you love the Lord Jesus, and by just doing that, you'll be in line with God's command. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. What happens when you choose to love him? 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Verse number 4 says, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, and into the patient waiting for Christ. If you choose to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, not only will you be preserved, but you will know that you're in the direction of God Almighty. The Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall... I want to be on the path that he's directed. I would like to be in the play that he's directed, not in the one that I'm trying to figure out how it should go. When you love the Lord, this verse says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. You'll know that you are under the direction of the Lord himself when you're choosing to love him. By loving him unconditionally, deciding that you'll give and not expect anything in return, that's what that word agape love has in its description, is without expectation of getting anything in return. I know that when we do things for God, sometimes there's that anticipation that God will bless and God will do. But really, a true love for God is just, God, I want to pour it out and give it to you. The lady this morning in the scripture, she poured out her alabaster box on his feet. I don't think she was expecting Jesus to pay her for that. She just wanted to give it to him. Oh, friend, it's when you have that type of love, probably when God's going to give way more back. I've always, a preacher asked me this week, he said, hey, I'm having a revival and having a guest speaker, and can I just ask you what you guys do in those situations financially? And I gave him some pointers, and he said, well, we've been saving up. I just didn't know how it should go. And I said, you'll never outgive God. You'll never outgive God. If you're giving it to that evangelist and you're trying to give it for God, for love for God, you're never going to outgive God. We've never in the years of our church been able to outgive God. If we try to give more, God just gives more on the other side. I found the only problem with me getting blessings from God is having too small of a funnel on my end so he can't put more in his end. Because if I'd make my end a little bigger to go through, he'd make his a lot bigger to pour into. You're not going to outgive God. And if you are trying to love God, then you know you're under his direction. Thirdly, look at Ephesians, or fourth, I don't know what number, Ephesians chapter 6, just turn there, Ephesians chapter 6. Someone said grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Someone said mercy is not getting what we do deserve, and grace is getting what we don't deserve. I don't know exactly how to describe it in the greatest of terms, but I know I'm saved by grace. God gave me that salvation. And I believe there's sustaining grace to keep me going once he has given me salvation. I know there's a grace in giving, and there's a lot of that word in different settings. But in Ephesians 6:24, the Bible says this, grace be with all them that what? Love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Boy, I'd like to have some more of that grace, wouldn't you? I would like to have a little more of God's riches. And the Bible says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't give me what I deserve. I don't deserve it. Just give me grace. Thank you, Lord, for that grace. Boy, sometimes grace is something we all want to get and we all don't ever give to anyone else. But in this passage, if you'll love the Lord Jesus, there's a promise of grace being with, a blessing of grace being with them that love him. Oh, I'd say that we all need a little more grace. That's why you ought to love Jesus. Well, I don't want to expect it, but the Bible can, you can anticipate it if you do it the right way, that there'll be preservation, direction, there'll be grace. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know this is of interest because when we announce certain topics at church or you have a certain speaker come and offer a certain subject and then people want to learn about that subject, they come. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 says this, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that what? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Skip on down to verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Listen, if you'll love Jesus, there's a promise of God revealing things to them that love him. You want to learn the Bible? Love Jesus. You want to have God give you some know-how and some discernment? Love Jesus. You love Jesus, and He will reveal things as you go and further on. And I know a lot of people say, man, I just want to know what's in the, I want to know the Bible. I want to know what God has. Just love Jesus. He'll teach you. You don't have to have a college class. You don't need to learn the 5 different languages. You don't need to know a little Hebrew or a little Greek or wherever they work at in the town. No, you just need to love Jesus. He'll reveal things to you. He'll reveal things through His Word. He'll reveal things through His work. He'll reveal things, the Bible says, to them that love Him. Just loving Jesus. That's the prerequisite from learning from God is to love Him. Love Him with all your heart. Give Him your best. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you want your emotion to be there, then put your treasure there. But whether your emotion's there or not, choose, decide, I am going to love the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll reveal things. He'll reveal answered prayers. I can't tell you how excited it is to see prayers that we've prayed be answered amongst a group of men that just pray. And families, if you pray. And then when it happens, God gets the glory. I remember 1 year ago, we were in our little blue house in Mechanicsburg. We moved up, and me and my wife the church was getting going, and we were had at least one child, and our refrigerator ran out, and we it wasn't like we couldn't have gotten something, but I said, you know what, honey, let's just pray that God does this. And I said, I'm sure we can go find one at the end of a curb and scrap one, you know, and get something going on. But I said, let's just pray that God would give us a refrigerator. I didn't remember saying anything about it. I know I didn't preach and try to make people feel guilty to give me a refrigerator about it. Because I knew that we could have made it work. And I'm not kidding you. A lady that's already in heaven, she said, preacher, I'm going to buy that refrigerator for you. I heard your refrigerator's out, and I'm getting you one. I said, no, no, no. She said, don't steal my blessing. You pick it out. And we went down to Dayton. I got a deal down Dayton, and got it. And I thought, Lord, you just have to ask. You just have to ask. He reveals things. He shows things. It's not about getting a fridge, but I tell you, it is about loving Jesus and letting Him reveal things to you as you go. I'm not trying to tell you you're going to get your pockets full of carnal things if you love Jesus, but I will tell you He'll reveal. And you know what? If you get knowledge from Him, you'll probably want less things in your pockets and more things in your advancement for the Lord and His work. Amen. God reveals things to them that love Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me tell you this one. You're not going to fake loving Jesus. You're not going to fake it. My mom used to say, you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you'll never fool all the people all the time. Ain't going to happen. No matter what position you're in or what place in life you're at, you may fool some and you may fool all a little bit, but you're not going to fool them all the time. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, verse number 3. The Bible says, but if any man love God, the same is what? The Lord knows who really loves him. You don't have to worry about what the preacher thinks of you. Really, I don't think that much. I'm telling you, I don't. It's just not capable of understanding, of keeping all that stuff in my mind. You don't have to worry about what the neighbor thinks of you. You don't have to worry about what a coworker or a peer thinks of you. But if you love God or if you don't, it's known of Him. Amen. He knows if you really love Him or not. You're not going to fake loving God to Him. You can fake love to a lot of other people, but God knows it, and God is aware of it, and you're not getting ahead by trying to fool Him. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not, He's not mocked. You're not going to mock Him. That's the most foolish thing that you ever think, is you're going to fake Christianity or fake spirituality or fake loving Jesus. Just get over it. Amen. And that's probably one of the most refreshing things is when people say, wow, Other people are just real and they have problems. Quit faking it. We're all a mess. And if it wasn't for the grace of the Lord Jesus, we don't have a chance with anything. Y'all say amen? Now, no need to as Brother Frank said, wallow in it or be overcome by it. The Bible says, purge your conscience from dead works so you can serve the living God. But I'll tell you this, God knows if you love him. God knows. Lastly, Romans chapter 8. Did you turn there? That makes you feel better when I say lastly, doesn't it? Romans chapter 8. It always made me feel better when I was in the pew. Amen. Brother McInerney would say, do you know what a watch means to a Baptist preacher? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I know what the clock means when my wife's in the nursery downstairs. Amen. I know exactly. If I get a text from her while I'm preaching, we'll say amen real quick, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Look what it says. You guys probably have quoted this verse and heard it and probably used it to someone else to encourage them. And we know that all things work together for good to them that what?
Love God.
All things don't work together for good for everyone. That's not what the verse says. And you're in a trial because of some sin you've done. I don't know if you can claim, well, all things are going to work out for good. Because you committed sin? Because you've been foolish? Because you've been wasting whatever God's... No, I don't think you can claim that verse in some hypocritical, backslidden condition. Yeah. I think you claim this verse when you say, I know I love God. I know I'm trying to keep his commands. I know that he's preserving, directing, I'm in his command. He's given me grace. God knows it and God's revealed through his word. And if it hasn't been revealed yet, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Why should you love God? As we looked at this morning, because I think we're all at least a 500 pence creditor and debtor to the creditor. I think we all have been forgiven of way more than we should have. And I think we ought to be grateful and love Jesus for that. Amen. But if that didn't get you, boy, some of these, surely one of these would encourage and motivate you. I want to love Jesus. I want to love God. I want to love him with all my heart, all my strength, all my might, all my soul. And it's not an emotional, it's not a roller coaster. Well, God's been really good this week, so I love him even more. No, why don't you decide you're going to be a steady, decided, I'm going to love God. And hopefully I'll grow that as I go. But I don't want to be like this. I just want to be a consistent, I want to love God. Amen. You can love God from what you do, and you can love God from what you don't do. You can love God what you say, and you can love God by what you don't say. And if God is the motivation for that, the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God. To them are the called according to his purpose. And so it ought not to be a challenge, it's a command. If you're a Christian, you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, and you say, well, I haven't been loving Jesus, you're disobedient. You're in the wrong because it's a command to love God. I'm not trying to beat you down or step on your toe. I'm just saying that's what the Bible says. If you're in sin, that's not loving God. If you love me, keep my commandments. But if you do love him, he knows it. He'll reveal things. He'll preserve you. He'll direct you. There's grace to them that love him. And then all things work together for good. Every head bowed. Every